Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Is this the nightcap?
No, this is Patrick.
Is this the nightcap?
No, this is Patrick.
Is this the nightcap?
No, this is Patrick.
Time now for the Nightcap on WGR Sports Radio 550.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here hanging out tonight on WGR for the next couple of hours. Derek, this is our first show as part of this social distancing that we're doing right now. And I got to be honest, I've been home all day and I'm really hoping that this works. Like, selfishly, like, I'm talking to you right now live from, like, bed. I'm in bed.
You know, first off,
cats, I really want this to work. I'm not going to lie. I really want this to work.
Cat's out of the bag. You got God. It was said on Chopin Bulldog, so. You didn't get God. You put yourself into quarantine. Yeah. So Joe's being responsible about everything. That's why he is doing this show from bed today.
Yep, pretty much. And we'll see. Maybe I'll move to the couch. Maybe I'll move to a desk chair. We'll see.
Will we know if you're walking? That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm assuming you'll hear me when it happens. So I think that will be you have the case where it happens. So interesting that, like, I don't know, like, this is the first day of me doing this quarantine / social distancing thing, work distancing, as I think you termed it actually earlier in the week. I like that, by the way. Like, when you got Howard in the booth, or in then Jeremy in the studio, and you in the control room. I like the work distancing term there. I have not really been paying much attention, I'm not going to lie, to, like, obviously the Bills, been keeping up with what's happening with them. But around the league, like, I don't know, Tom Brady's still going to Tampa, right?
Yeah, it seems like that. The reports are still seeming like that. By the way, speaking of Bills things, later today we will be hearing from Carolina Panthers play-by-play man Mick Mixon about a couple of the incoming Panthers that the Bills had signed in Mario Addison and Vernon Butler, as well as A.J. Klein did used to play for the Panthers. He comes over from the Saints as well. So we'll be hearing from Mick Mixon later on in the show as well. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, dude, it's strange that this was supposed to be the day that officially everything was supposed to be announced. And, of course, because we're not allowed to have anything fun right now, those announcements have been postponed like literally everything else in sports.
Sure. I mean, we do know that they're going to happen. Like, I saw that Chris Brown and the Bills tweeted out that, like, oh, report that the Bills are trading for Stephon Diggs. It's all but confirming that Stephon Diggs is going to be a Buffalo Bill. I don't think we're going to get an Antonio Brown situation like we did last season. I spent a lot of last night's show on me and Brendan Keeney just going back and forth on, like, Nate Geary joined us at 8 o'clock last night. Like, just what the expectation is now for not just this team, but what it is for Josh Allen. And I'm hyped up for this season. Like, I'm ready to go. And Tom Brady is, of course, a part of that. And him going to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and all that's happened in free agency right now, to my knowledge, to fill me in if I missed it, but I saw Nick Foles, of course, is going to the Bears, traded for a fourth-round pick. Tyrod Taylor is going to be the quarterback of the Los Angeles Chargers. Although, I tend to think, I mean, obviously, they're going to draft a guy, right, at six. They're either going to make a play for Tua, or they're going to draft Justin Herbert. I don't think they're going in with just Tyrod Taylor. What does New England do at quarterback? And, like, what are their options left? I think they're going to have to make a determination of, hey, do we really want to settle for Jameis Winston or Cam Newton? Because otherwise, I'm not too sure New England's going to have a quarterback that can take them anywhere near what the Bills might be this season. And I'm looking around, like, today, right now, who is supposed to be their biggest threat in the division? Is it still New England? Because we've kind of gone at it, I think, a little bit on Jarrett Stidham. I tended to like him coming to the draft a lot more than other people. even I would tell you, I don't think Jared Stidham is leading the Patriots to AFC East contention.
I don't even think Jared Stidham is leading the conversation of third best quarterback in the division. So this is...
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah, this is... And it's not his fault either. I mean, it's just that we don't know what he is. So the biggest thing, though, about this with the Bills and everything, I have one, like, snarky, semi-negative thing about the Bills and their position that they're set up in with the AFC East. And it's more snarky than negative. But it's, of course, they open the playoff field to seven teams, and Tom Brady's leaving the division for the Bills to have their strongest roster in two decades. Because, right. Of course. Well,
right. But really, wasn't that all that's happened, or all that we ever wanted? And maybe it took 10 years longer than we really wanted it to. But the day Tom Brady was no longer the New England Patriots quarterback, did we not want the Bills to be standing there ready to be in a position to take over ahead of the New York Jets, ahead of the Miami Dolphins? And I would tell you that I liked the Jets last season, and I think that they suffered a lot from injuries earlier in the season and a tough schedule early in the season, and they won 7 of their last 9. So you shouldn't completely sleep on them, but they're not having a great offseason so far. Miami has added pieces, but remember, they're starting from basically nothing. So, to me, if New England doesn't go out and they don't add this top quarterback, I don't know if I'm being too biased or if I'm being too homerish if I'm looking at the picture right now and thinking, I don't know who is supposed to compete with the Bills.
Yeah, this is one of those interesting cases where the only snarky thing about it for me is, of course, they expand the playoff field to 7 teams when the Bills are now primed to be that guy. So, like, sure. that's the of course sort of thing for me. But no, this is actually, it's a very fun time now for Bills fans. Like, we are that night that they traded for Stephon Diggs.
It is fun. Yeah,
reportedly. You look at that, though, and they make that trade. They make another couple of good signings with A.J. Klein and Mario Addison that night. And then the next morning, we find out, like, he gone. It's done. It's over. We're safe. And it's just looking like a different time for this team right now, where the Bills are the favorite in the AFC East. I'm just going to straight up say it. I know Bill Belichick is still the coach.
Oh, yeah.
But this team, from top to bottom, Sal said it with Mike and Chris, 1-22, this is their strongest roster that they've had in a very long time.
Yeah, I think I heard that conversation too, and even Sal made a point of, where is the starting position on their roster where you think, oh yeah, they need to fill that, or they need to desperately upgrade that spot? There's spots where you can look around and say, well, they can add some depth at running back behind Devin Singletary, I would have told you last night, add some depth at defensive tackle, but they've gone out and done that with Quentin Jefferson and Vernon Butler. Maybe linebacker, but AJ Klein now is in the picture. I don't really know where I'm supposed to look, even now, for where's the depth you need to add. Maybe on the offensive line, maybe a right guard. I don't really know. Like, that second round pick, it's, all right, you pick that guy, and I don't think that guy has the Bills have a need for that guy to start, or that guy is going to have much of a chance to start, because I don't see a spot on the Bills roster where, like, oh yeah, that's an open competition. Oh yeah, that spot is up for grabs. And you're right, like, that just speaks to how complete that their roster is, and that's how exciting I think this season's going to be, and how exciting this offseason, this build-up to the year is going to be, the build-up to training camp, the build-up to the draft even before that, whatever version of the draft we do get because of all the COVID-19 impact that it's having on the league. The NFL maybe less so than everybody else because it's off-the-field stuff right now that we're talking about, but you're right, like, how it's hard for me to see them not being the favorite unless, again, like, what do you do if you're New England right now? That's maybe the most interesting part of the division. Like, the Bills have it settled. They have their roster figured out. Their blueprint is figured out. I think we know what they're going to try to be next season. And the Jets, I think, are just going to kind of scrape along with Adam Gase and be the best they can be for Sam Darnold. But I think we kind of have it figured out how good they are. The Dolphins, we'll see. But again, are they going to go from 5 wins to 12? Probably not. New England's the interesting part of the division. What do you do if you're Bill Belichick? Because this is the first time we've ever seen Bill Belichick in this situation for the New England Patriots. He comes into New England. He's got Drew Bledsoe as his quarterback. That goes out for a couple years. Now it's Tom Brady, and there's never a question at all about who the quarterback is. I mean, he's the one time maybe he got asked that question in 20 years after they got steamrolled by, I think it was the Kansas City Chiefs, and he was saying, we're on to Cincinnati. I mean, he laughed in the guy's face when said, well, are you going to evaluate the quarterback position? And Belichick's just laughing. Like, he wouldn't even answer the question. Now, not only is there a question of who the Patriots quarterback is, I don't even know if I have a good idea of what they should do. I might tell you that their best course of action, if I'm New England, is to tear it all down and get in that race for Trevor Lawrence and get in that race for a top quarterback next year.
Why you got to do that
Bill
to me?
Well, I don't think they're going to do that. I think you're safe and they're not going to do that because I think Belichick, how old is Belichick? Like, he's not going into a rebuild phase, is he? Like, if I'm thinking of it from his perspective, I don't think that that's on the table for them. I mean, he's got to be still trying to win a Super Bowl at 67 years old.
He's only 67?
Does it feel like it's only 67?
Yes, because he's been terrorizing us forever. So this
how
is
much
just,
longer has he got? I mean, 5, 6, 7 years?
He's probably going to try to go 10, knowing him. He's a football lifer. He's a football junkie. He's going to go until the league literally passes him by. And he's always in front of it. He always manages to stay ahead. So, yes, Bill Belichick is still a legitimate problem when you're looking at AFC East supremacy. However, Bill Belichick, the coach, is still far and away better than Bill Belichick, the personnel manager. Because there have been some major whiffs with them. They haven't hit on a great ton of their picks lately. They haven't done the best in trades. They traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu. They traded away Chandler Jones for...
Yeah, that looks bad right now.
Yeah, they traded away Chandler Jones for Jonathan Cooper. They cut him a year later. So it's not like Belichick is hitting on everything right now personnel-wise, but he is getting the most out of a football team that he ends up fielding every year. That's the dangerous part, is Bill Belichick the coach. I'm not scared of Bill Belichick the personnel man because the Patriot way gets overblown and everything's a great move for them, but it's still the coach that is a legitimate concern.
I've got odds on New England starting quarterback for week one. We should go over like what the best bet is right now for that because it's so interesting on who it could be. 803-0550 is the phone number for your calls. Is it fair to say the Bills are the clear favorite? Not just the favorite, but the clear favorite at this moment to win the AFC East. Let us know what you think. Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer here on the Nightcap. New England's starting quarterback odds for week one, according to Bet Online. The favorite right now, I think, is Jarrett Stidham. I think that's fair, right? Jarrett Stidham being the favorite just because he's the guy on the roster, probably.
Yeah, I mean, he's there. He's literally there. That's the thing is that the most guarantee is that Jarrett Stidham is on the roster right now. So I guess it's fair that he's got the best batting odds because we don't know what they're going to do.
Right, so plus 175 for Jarrett Stidham. A close second is Cam Newton at plus 200. Andy Dalton at plus 375, Jameis Winston at plus 700, Derek Carr at plus 1200, Jacoby Brissett at plus 1200. I think that one actually kind of makes sense. Jimmy Garoppolo at plus 2500. You're getting some long shot odds there with him. Cody Kessler, who's also on the Patriots roster, at plus 3300. Joe Flacco, who is expected to be released, I believe I saw by the Broncos, is also plus 3300. Like from that list, I'm not even sure there's a guy on that list. Maybe Garoppolo, but again, that's one of those long shots. I don't really see that happening.
I don't see it happening.
There's not really
at all.
I don't see a guy in that list that makes me super worried about the Patriots. I guess it also depends on what you thought of Brady last season. I tended to think that even though he looked like he was an old quarterback, and even though he looked like the game has passed him by, I still think he's not Tom Brady of old. I'm not saying he's one of the elites of the league anymore, but I still thought he was very good. Think about what he was throwing to. It was a banged up Julian Edelman. It was a hurt Mohamed Sanu. It was a rookie in N'Keal Harry that looked over. He didn't look like he was ready for the league yet. A rotating door running back. Matt Lacoste, who I've never even heard of, is their starting tight end. Marshall Newhouse is their left tackle, who couldn't even make the Bills offensive line when the Bills offensive line stunk 2 years ago. And Brady, like, put up some numbers. Like, he was good. They were good enough to make the playoffs. The defense, obviously, is the biggest reason because they were the best in football. But who on that list right now scares you? Like, who on that list comes in and would you say that guy's as good as Tom Brady was last season? I think Newton's the closest you're getting, but there's a question with his health, obviously.
I might even say Dalton at times was that kind of player until Cincinnati just imploded on their season.
Yeah.
So, because Dalton looked very strong, for example, in the first 3 weeks of the year. And the next thing you know, though, he and the entire Bengals just implode, and it made it look like, oh, Miami's tanking? Yeah, we were totally trying to do that. Yeah. so
the last The last updated Patriot over-under number is 10.5. Now, that's before Brady leaves. But, again, who on that list makes you think they're going over 10.5? I don't like, does Dalton do that for you? Like, because you just mentioned him. I don't think he does for me.
Defense-wise, the way that the Patriots play, I'm not going to say no, but I am also definitely not
saying...
They lost
Jamie Collins and Van Noy, though.
I'm also definitely not saying yes, though. I mean, let's be real here. But the thing is that it's Belichick still... coaching that defense. That's why I can't dismiss them. It's not, I mean, 10.5 is actually kind of high. I think the winner is 10 games in the AFC East, and I'm very certain that the Bills can hit that. So can you just out-duel New England, who's probably going to get more out of less than what they have had for a while? Because Belichick's still there, and I respect the coach more than the personnel man. So it's going to be tricky, sure. And like you said, New England's probably still your biggest challenge. But at the same time, what are you really looking at? The Jets, who, I mean, are going to Adam Gase themselves again, and the Dolphins, like you said, that are starting from the bottom. So there is some very intriguing things that have to happen here. Miami, if they hit on everything with all the draft picks that they've acquired, they can become dangerous. But I don't see it yet. They have to hit on all three of those first-round picks immediately for themselves to be considered a very dangerous team. And we don't know what they're doing at quarterback.
That's right. We don't know what they're going to do at quarterback either. I think we kind of know. The question there is more who the rookie is, less so who the veteran is that they're going to bring in. That's kind of maybe what New England's spot is. Yeah, because what's Miami with Tua? Like, do we even know if Tua's ready to start the year? And if it's Miami with Ryan Fitzpatrick and all of these other pieces, I think we know what the ceiling is for Ryan Fitzpatrick. They could be a team competing for the playoffs, maybe, if everything, like you said, goes right. Like, they nail all those first-round picks, and the guys that they bring in a free agency actually produce. Shaq Lawson, for instance, continues to perform at the level he was last year for the Bills. Then I'm maybe getting to Miami can compete for a wild card spot. But again, we're having a discussion about the division, which maybe feels weird and feels strange, because it's not a discussion that me personally, as a 24-year-old that's followed the Bills my whole life, has ever had. Like, the only time I've ever thought about the division for a second was when, sad enough, when Tom Brady tore his ACL. Like, the weeks after that happened, I thought about the division. Other than that, never really even crossed my mind. I guess maybe at the end of last year a little bit. And the Bills, actually, funny enough, could have won it had they ended up winning that game in Foxborough, if Miami would have still won in Foxborough thereafter. But this is a whole new discussion. And again, it's credit to the Bills, and it's credit to the blueprint all coming together and being ready to be put into action when the Patriots are now done, when the dynasty is over. And again, the Patriots could still be, of course, a competitor for this division, no doubt. They could, depending on who their quarterback is. But this is not the sixth Super Bowl dynasty anymore. I just don't see that happening with this present roster and what their current options are at quarterback. So, to me, it's going to come down to, for the Bills, is Josh Allen ready to not only take them from playoff team to team that can win the division, and also team that can jump up on that top AFC tier with the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens? Because when I look at this right now, I asked Nate this question yesterday, I asked Brendan this question yesterday. I want to get your thought on it too, because I'm almost looking for people to tell me I'm crazy, but I'm not getting a lot of pushback yet. Outside of the quarterback, and again, Allen could step up and be a part of this too, but outside of the quarterback, I feel like this is a Super Bowl caliber roster, and I need the quarterback to step up and say, yeah, and now I'm a Super Bowl caliber quarterback because of it.
Now, here's the thing. We know progress is not linear. Thank you, Mitchell Trubisky, for painfully reminding people about that.
Yeah.
But if Allen does take another step forward, that is going to be huge. And there's reason you're not crazy, and it's got two words. There was a lot of questions about this player. Today on the afternoon show, we had two guests talk about him, and Matt Harmon and Matt Collar, Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs makes quarterbacks better. Yep. He really does. And this is not like a, oh, hey, he might be a number one receiver in Buffalo. They went and got one of the best receivers in the game right now in Stephon Diggs, one of the best at separation, which was coming to be a little bit of a flaw of the receiver group on the whole last year. But Josh Allen's not necessarily going to be able to hit on all of those throws. We've seen that, and let's be real. I mean, I love Josh Allen at this point. I want to be wrong on my original draft day take on him so badly. And it just...
Same.
This is one of those things, though, where Diggs is a player that makes a quarterback better. Diggs is that kind of guy. And the fact that the Bills got him for what is essentially their first-round pick this year, you're not crazy for saying that they are Super Bowl capable, because the Chiefs, they have that stellar offense. But guess what the Bills have? A defense that can match that kind of capacity. Now, the question is always going to be, can the offense do enough? What were we saying all throughout this offseason and before the legal tampering period, Joe? What's the one thing the Bills needed? Mm-hmm. It was that number one wide receiver. What did they go and do? They got it. They got a top 10 receiver in the league for a first-round pick and a couple of others. This is not a joke. This is not a drill. This is a team that already won 10 games last year and is getting better.
Yeah. Is there, like, I don't want to keep comparing them to New England, but is there a single position on New England's offense where they're better than the Bills now? Like, I don't really think there is.
I don't know anymore. I mean, you can argue, and I mean, this is cherry picking. You can argue cornerback with me, but...
Cornerback?
Corner.
Well, I said offense, but defense, you're right. You might be right to add that in.
Yeah,
might
like corner is really my only, and I'm being nitpicky, because Gilmore and White, I'd match them up. Those guys are great. But then after that, it's like the Bills do have questions right now, it seems, as to who's going to be opposite him. You don't sign Josh Norman to just be there and be a guy. No, you don't have interest in Chris Harris to think that everything's fine with Levi Wallace. You're trying to get better there, as the Bills are trying to do. And that is where I suspect that that's where the question mark is for them, is that they've been snooping around at corner to try to see if they can get somewhere. And that's where I think they're... That might be a day two pick for them with either their second or third round pick, where they may go after that. This is where they might go after it, because pass rush is not a question for me anymore. They're going rotation style on this. Mario Addison is a solid pass rusher. They've got Jefferson in that a lot of people love that signing. Trent Murphy and Jerry Hughes are going to be part of a rotation with four players that are very strong. I'm going to be worried about Johnson, Daryl Johnson, making this team next year, because of the fact that the four D ends are now, as a collective, fairly strong. And if Daryl Johnson takes a step, Murphy might be the guy to go in training camp. So this is going to be an interesting little training camp for this team, based on the fact that they are not just strong top-heavy. They have depth throughout the roster, and that should be, if you are a team in the AFC, that should be terrifying.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. We talked about this before. We don't know if we've done our over-unders game, right?
I don't remember. Then again, I also had a concussion a month ago, so you're going to have to help me.
maybe now might be a good time to break this out and go through them. I mean, these lines are probably going to change as free agency does, but maybe we'll go through the league and see what we think of every team right now. Me and Derek, every year, we do an over-under. We pick over-unders for every team in the league, and then we compile it at the end of the season. I do believe, by the way, I'm 2-0. I think I've won both seasons. Am I wrong on that?
That's probably because I make risky calls, like calling for pushes. So
yeah, you call for pushes, which is like, and come on, like really?
I mean, hey, you gotta, first off, safe money is bad money, so... It's useless, so why not try it? So
is that right?
Yeah, I mean, come on, you can't.
Was that your yearbook quote?
No, I don't even remember what my yearbook quote was.
It wasn't safe money is bad money.
Yeah, no, I don't know, I might
want to dispute that.
I don't know, but
maybe
You know what? I ain't scared. How's that? So that's my thing. Well, you know what? If you want to mess around with it, I'm down. Obviously, this won't be our official one because we always do that at the end of the preseason.
Sure,
but if you want to mess around with it.
Yeah, we'll see around what we think of the current over under teams as it stands in free agency. We'll get to that. We'll continue to talk Bills and the division. Are they the clear favorite right now? Is there any reason to think they're not the clear favorite in the division? Josh Allen, expectations for him in 2020 as well, and all that's happened in the league. We'll get into a little bit of what's happened around the league, including Jadeveon Clowney not getting the market that he wanted, and the Bills playing a part in that, because the Bills were a team that went into free agency wanting a big name pass rusher, didn't happen for them, at least in terms of going after Clowney. And I wonder what the market is saying about him as a player and what the Bills said about going after Amario Addison instead. That's on the table as well. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer. I'm live from my social distancing studio here, which is just my bed. And Derek Kramer hanging out in studio as well. We're hanging out with you till 9 o'clock here on WGR. Amazingly, the New England Patriots are still favored to win the AFC East without Tom Brady. How about that? I just actually 5 minutes ago, BetOnline tweeted it out. Who's your pick for the division? Because this is the odds right now that they have for the division. Patriots at minus 110, the Bills at plus 175, and then you've got the Jets at plus 650, and the Dolphins at plus 1,000. So the Patriots are a razor-thin favorite to win the division still. Again, we just had the conversation. Like, are we being biased, or is this bias towards New England and maybe too much confidence in Bill Belichick that he's going to find the right piece of quarterback? I don't know. It's crazy to me. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on the Nightcap, 803-0550. We're going to get to your calls in 1 second. But again, we don't want to just do sports 100 miles an hour straight through for the 2 hours. Like, Derek, I don't know. Like, we haven't talked too much about, like, what's going on right now in the world. And, like, we're doing this I'm doing this social distancing thing / quarantining, kind of staying safe and being away. I'm good. I've got people reaching out on Twitter, by the way. I'm good. I'm feeling great. Nothing to worry about there. But, like, for you, like, this is crazy. And I don't know. Like, I find myself more and more being able to escape from it when I need to, while also having a healthy enough respect for it to also think about it the proper amount, because I think it is something everybody should be thinking about a lot in day-to-day life.
You know, here's the interesting thing about my saga over these past, like, couple of weeks now. I mean, even the past month, yeah. I suffer a concussion, I end up getting an appendectomy, and I come back and the sports world is shut down. In addition, the minute I'm good to come back, Brayton ends up getting sick with a head cold. And
right.
But of course, Brayton had been on a cruise. Brayton is sick. Mm-hmm. He came back from a cruise. He has effectively been locked out of the building. So he needs a doctor's note. In the meantime, I'm filling in the morning show with Howard and Jeremy as everything is just going down. Sports are getting canceled or postponed, and everything is just domino by domino. Each thing is falling. And it's kind of funny that my last day on the morning show, Bill O'Brien loses his cookies, and the Bills do everything. And the minute I'm not there, they can talk 100 miles an hour about sports again. But now you are going into a self quarantine. You're trying to be extra cautious about everything, and now I'm filling in on a different shift here. So it's been kind of interesting for me how I've had to shift my entire sleep schedule now. But
sure,
It's weird. I never would have thought.
Sleep schedule changing back and forth would be crazy for sure.
It's a little crazy. And then you also have to look at right now, Tee to Green, the guys on Saturdays. I'm usually used to them being on a remote. They are in studio now. I have to see what's going on, you know, with Nate and everything that's going to happen there. Is he going to do the show from home? I don't know what's going on anymore, but there's a lot of me coming in and sitting in this chair. It's just at different times of the day.
Yes, the ultimate utility player, Derek Kramer. He's in with me tonight on the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase here on WGR. Let's get back to the business. The Patriots, the Bills, the division, I just read it to you. BetOnline still has New England as a division favorite over the Bills. I don't know what the quarterback move is that makes me pick them over the Bills, but BetOnline seems to think that they're going to make one that gets them there. Let's go out to the phone lines at 803-0550. Jason in Niagara, you're on the Nightcap. What's up, man?
Hey, guys. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Yeah, I don't think you guys are being too biased about the Bills in the division. I know Belichick's a great coach and everything, but you still need talent. I think Arians is a good coach, but when your quarterback throws 30 interceptions, you're not going to look too good. So depending on who he gets at quarterback, I think it's the Bills division. I kind of look at the whole AFC, maybe kind of like the NBA when LeBron is going to all those finals. Like, there's a couple good teams at the top, and then the rest kind of, you know, you got Kansas City, Baltimore, I think Pittsburgh might be better than New England if Roethlisberger comes back healthy. They looked pretty good last year, but you look at all the good quarterbacks and the good teams. A lot of them are in the NFC with Wilson, Rodgers, Brady, Breeze. Like you got San Francisco. You got some good teams out there. Or I look at the AFC, and the Bills can win the division, get a home game. Like, I think at this roster, they beat Houston next year if they have to play them again. Tennessee with Tannehill, they don't really scare me too much. They're a good team, but I don't know. I like their chances.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Jason. I look around the division or the conference, and I can see the same thing. It's a lot of quarterbacks that you're either wondering, well, like two guys you'd have no questions about to me. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in football, and Lamar Jackson is great. Like, is there a chance for regression there with Lamar Jackson in terms of his rushing? Probably, but the guy was too good for me to think that he's not going to at least be, you know, as good as like the Deshaun Watsons and the Russell Wilsons of the world. I think Lamar Jackson is here to stay as one of the best quarterbacks in football. Then you've got Deshaun Watson. I think you should group him in there as well. That's three quarterbacks in the conference that I think I know are great. Whereas you mentioned it, in the NFC, I've got Aaron Rodgers, I've got Drew Brees, I've got Carson Wentz, I've got Russell Wilson, I've got Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray even, like he was phenomenal, Matt Ryan, like I've got a lot of guys in the NFC. Kirk Cousins was an MVP candidate, amazingly, for the second half of last season. The AFC, I'm either wondering, A, what the team's going to do still, like New England, or the Chargers, I guess we know now. Maybe the Dolphins with a rookie, we don't know that yet. Or I'm wondering, what's a guy got left in the tank? And that is Roethlisberger, that is, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick in Miami. That could be what the Chargers think they're going to get out of Tyrod Taylor. And then we could jump into months and months of Tyrod Taylor debate if we really wanted to. And I'm sure the Chargers fans, if there are any left in LA or to begin with, they'll go through that. Baker Mayfield, like, I've got question marks. Sam Darnold, I've got Philip Rivers, I should have mentioned, by the way, how much is he left in the tank? I've got question marks all over the conference at quarterback, and not to say the Bills don't also have a question mark with Josh Allen, but he's not as big a question mark as some of the others, and I think the roster as a whole bumps the Bills up to at least, Nate put it this way yesterday. He thinks right now, and I think I agree, they're the best team in the second tier of the AFC. They're not on the Chiefs level. They're not on the Ravens level. That might be its own tier, those top two. But then the Bills might currently be the best team of the rest of them. And you'd throw the Titans in there, the Steelers, the Texans, even though they don't have Hopkins now. The Browns have had an offseason here. Like, is that fair to say? Like, I think maybe that's right where I'd put them right now. The best team in the second tier.
I think that they are very clearly the third best team in the AFC. I mean, based on what Kansas City has just done winning the Super Bowl, based on the Ravens having not just an explosive offense last year, they had quietly one of the better defenses in the league too. So that puts the Bills probably firmly at the third team in the league, in the AFC, excuse me. It's looking like now, though, for the first time, and God, how long is it that the Bills could be looking at a home playoff game, and it's almost more of just take care of your business sort of deal so that we can finally get this for the first time in forever.
Right. And I mean, that's why expectations are going to be so high for me. Like I'm happy to have expectations be that high. And I'm happy to not just be thinking about, you know, the playoffs. And maybe that's another part of this conversation going into next season. And this is something we haven't experienced in a long time is, you know, if they were to just make the playoffs next year and lose in the first round, I'm not sure anybody, like last year, a bunch of people would have told you that was a success. Maybe almost everybody would have. Next year, if they do the same thing and they go out in the first round, like this is a part of expectations being higher, and this is a part of the fun of having a good team. But what comes with it is you have to win now in the playoffs. And if they were to lose in the first round, like, wouldn't you agree with that? Like, I wouldn't call that a success.
Hell, last year, how pissed were we with how it ended? You had beaten the Texans up like a bag and just keep going and going and going. You're just whooping them down. And then they come back and beat you in the heartbreaking fashion that they did. This is really looking like one of the toughest things that you could have dealt with. And people, I remember I did the show after, the day after with Brayton, and the two of us, Brayton was not as furious as I was. And I rarely get kind of like that upset about a football game. I don't let it affect my life. But that one, it 12 hours later still did not process with me very well. Why? Because I saw a team that could make noise in the playoffs, and they didn't. This is exactly that. This is that next step, like you said, about having a good team and the evolution of the expectations that you're supposed to have. Even last year, I was not going to be happy with just a playoff team from the way that they played. And that is the biggest thing for me. Like, we all looked at the beginning of the season, we saw the soft schedule, and like, okay, the Bills can make the playoffs here, and that'd be pretty cool. And I'm thinking to myself, they could, you know what, let's see what they can do more than that. And I remember I was personally a little upset about the over-visiting of the airport. And that is, that's kind of my thing at this point now. We don't need to do that anymore. And that's going to be the future serving here for all you guys in Bills Mafia. What? We don't need,
If they win.
Hear me out. Ready? I want one reason for us to be at the airport at this point. And I'm talking, and I'm going to say the words, Joe. I'm talking Super Bowl. I'm talking you could be there at the airport for taking off for the Super Bowl. Why? Because I want a home playoff game. I want the AFC Championship in Buffalo. I am settling for anything less anymore because this team has got it.
What if they won two playoff games and they were hosting the AFC Championship game? Come on,
then you're not at the airport. Then you're not at the airport for that, are you?
If they're hosting, come on.
No, quite literally, they're home. You're not going to the airport for that.
Oh, I see.
That's my point. If they are this good.
What if they're going to the AFC Championship game? What if they're going to Kansas City for the AFC Championship game?
Then they've only won one or two playoff games. It would be two with the new playoff format.
Let's mention that real quick. I talked a little bit about it with Brendan last night, but 7 playoff teams, I think maybe there's a chance in 2-3 years if the Bills are as good as they're setting up to be. It's going to depend on Allen. But in 2-3 years, maybe we'll be annoyed that, second seed used to have that first round bye. Now we got to play, you know, the Titans or the Jaguars, whoever the hell is making it. And I think this year, though, like, I would be more than happy if the Bills were hosting a playoff game as the 2 seed in the division, or in the conference. And again, I think that's going to be tough sledding to be able to beat either Kansas City or Baltimore. But, the added opportunity to host playoff games, that is a reality we have not lived in so long, and that's why I am so excited for the upcoming football season. I am so excited for what the Bills did. And this is, you know, a part of this is the Cleveland Browns syndrome from last year. This is what a number one wide receiver can do. When you add a guy with star power like that, an ability like Stephon Diggs does at that position, similar to that of what Odell Beckham was when Cleveland went out and acquired him last season, it can kind of put blinders on you, and it can make you forget about what's outside of those blinders. And I think that happened to a lot of us with Cleveland last season, me in particular. I bought in on the Browns more than anybody, and I kind of completely ignored who their coach was, what his experience was, the kind of scheme he runs with the quarterback, the offensive line, pieces on the defense. I just didn't want to think of it because, oh my gosh, Odell Beckham's going to be getting the ball from Baker Mayfield, and that is hot, and I am ready for that. And it made you forget about what's outside those blinders. But if you could put the blinders on the Bills or not, when you look outside of them, everything is so complete that Diggs' move, unlike what Beckham was for the Browns, that Diggs' move is a final piece. Beckham was not a final piece for the Browns. They were still building up. And I think maybe Cleveland now is set up, like maybe we were a year early on Cleveland because them going out and getting Jack Conklin and Austin Hooper and making some other nice additions. Kevin Stefanski should be a much improved head coach coming from a Kyle Shanahan type of offense that I think Baker Mayfield will thrive in as opposed to Freddie Kitchens, who was just having a bye time and everyone was running downfield. The Bills, on the other hand, this is a final piece move. And it's not like Cleveland last offseason. Diggs, yes, he's a receiver. He's a big star receiver. And I think that can make you think that they're better than they are. But this player is so good, and everything around him on the offense is so good, that it's hard for me to see this team not living up to expectations and being like last year's Cleveland Browns. I don't see it. I think Diggs is too good.
And the other thing that you have to look at here is you see some of the narrow losses that the Bills suffered last year. And say John Brown is getting covered by elite talent corners that, you know, John Brown was very good for this team last year, but he was not a pure number one receiver. That that sort of target now is off of Brown's back, and say instead Brown is being shadowed by the nickel corner or the second corner on those kinds of plays where it was a tough pass breakup by an elite defender. Now you're looking at a completely different situation. You've got a guy in Stephon Diggs who's going to command attention, but he's still going to get his. And John Brown's going to go to a number two receiver role where he's going to be able to destroy on matchups. He put a double move on Stephon Gilmore that people still won't forget. This is everything. It's a trickle-down effect with the rest of the passing game to get a player like that. And yeah, one player does not make the entire difference on a football team in most cases, but this is one of those, like you said, it's a final move piece, and it has that trickle-down effect in the passing tree and the progressions for Josh Allen. This is going to make this offense more dangerous just by proxy.
Yeah. 803-0550 is the phone number. We didn't get into the around the league stuff yet. I'd love to do that when we come back. Bringing up running back, by the way, I'm not sure there's been a single running back that's been signed yet other than Jordan Howard in Miami. So that market is still wide open. We could talk about that for not just the Bills, but for what that means to the league right now. And then the remaining quarterbacks on the market, Jameis Winston, Cam Newton, Andy Dalton, are there going to be starting jobs available for these guys? Let's talk about that when we come back as well. Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on the Nightcap on WGR.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Welcome back to the Nightcap. Joe DiBiase, Derek Kramer. We're in separate locations. Work distancing, as Derek coined it. It's my favorite term so far. Think you can ever see yourself... Go ahead.
It's become a common practice right now. I mean, you had it with the Instigators this morning, One Bills Live as well. And, I mean, Jay Harris, he's doing work down there because he's like one of the only two people down at the One Bills Drive studios because Murph's at home, Tasser's home, the guys from the Instigators, they're at home. And he's trying to put everything together. So props to him. A little shout out for Jay doing work right now. But go ahead. You had a question there.
Yeah, shout out Jay Harris. I like that. How do you feel about a chicken as a pet? How do you feel about that?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, chicken as a pet. Do you think that's a feasible option? Like, you know, people out there, like you see, like Des Bryant had a pet monkey. When it comes to like exotic pets, how do you feel about a chicken? Like, do you think someone walking a chicken down the street is that person crazy to you or what?
You know what? I don't want to use the dump button. I have a really bad joke about this.
Yeah, don't do that. I don't know, man. Like, I saw at a local place where, like, you can adopt pets. It's like, you know, you're looking to see, like, what they got dog-wise, and, like, there's a chicken.
Why is there a chicken?
All right.
Why is there a chicken?
I don't know. I'm very interested, too, why there's a chicken.
No, don't be interested.
Is it that crazy?
Don't be interested.
Can a chicken be a pet?
No.
It feels like it'd be pretty easy to take care of.
A chicken is food.
Oh, that! Come on.
I'm kidding.
Cover the bird's ears.
I'm kind of kidding on this one. It's just like, who the hell would want a chicken for a pet?
Is that your threshold though? You can't have a pet that's also food.
No, that's not my threshold.
Like teacup pigs.
I'm just the idiot that likes to try to make jokes. I don't understand why a chicken would be a pet though.
Well, it would be easy to take care of, wouldn't it be? Wouldn't you think?
No.
Like, what do they get? Litter boxes? You have to take them out to the backyard. Like, I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know. People have chickens, like, and most of them are, you know, farmers and such. Like, you're out in more rural areas, but I don't think it's that crazy.
I feel like the talons would be a problem in itself. They'd probably rip some things up that you'd like. It can fly.
Well, isn't it? It can't fly. Chickens cannot fly.
Chickens
isn't it
can't
similar
fly?
To.
I thought chickens can fly.
Or at least I don't think chickens can fly.
Or at least they could, like, flap and, like, move around, and it just, like, next thing you know, you have a gate up for this thing, and he's out of the gate. Damn it.
I don't think chickens can fly. All right, I'm gonna digress on that.
Like, you worry about a puppy managing to get out of a crate. What's the problem when a chicken does it?
It's not to get out. It doesn't have fingers. How is it going to get out with its beak?
Beak, tail. I don't know. Dude, it just... I'm thinking about too many things here. I've got too many questions about chicken being a pet. Like it just I'm not a fan of this.
I'll do some more research and I'll let you know if I end up adopting a chicken. I don't think it's going to end up happening.
Joe in self quarantine, right. Day 14. I'm almost done, but I've acquired a chicken.
This is day 1 and I'm already thinking about acquiring a chicken.
I don't know where I'm
going to be on day 14.
Day 8, I have had a chicken shipped to my house as a pet. I'm naming him Ronnie.
Day eight, out of food, thinking about the chicken. Okay, that I think that we've reached a point of no return here.
We've lost the chicken as a pet already.
I think just by saying that, I've now disqualified myself from ever being able to adopt a chicken as a pet, just by saying that. All right, back to business when we come back. Jadeveon Clowney still out there in the market. I don't think the Bills are in play for him at all at this point because of adding Mario Addison. Trent Murphy is still on the roster. That's an interesting one. So maybe we'll talk a little bit about the defense. And then we got to go around the league. Jameis Winston, Tom Brady landing in Tampa Bay, kind of ousting Jameis Winston and leaving him without a home. And will he find one? Cam Newton, same question about him. Will Mitch Trubisky be on the bench? Will he even get traded? There's a lot of quarterback movement that could still happen around the league. So we'll go over that when we come back as well. Looking for your calls at 803-0550. This is the Nightcap with Joe DiBiase and Derek Kramer here on WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.